B-Pod Studios.
Then he already is. If the knee's 100%, he needs to go comfortable and clean, like a nice sleeve underneath, and you get what you get. I mean, wearing a knee brace for him, trying to force him to, is completely ridiculous.
I agree. That's why I brought up the idea that last year he said that that was hindering him because all he could do is think about the brace, which made him think about the knee.
Exactly. I agree with that 100%. On to the Sixers. I've been hearing a lot, I agree. Tobias Harris is not a max contract guy. I would hate to see us do it. Jimmy Butler, yes, I would love to see us do it. When you start looking at Tobias Harris and you look at the tweener that he is between small forward, power forward, hopefully you get a healthy Zaire Smith. He starts taking those small forward minutes if we don't get a Tobias Harris back. What I'd like to see us go out and get is a true power forward, a rim rocker, a guy that gets nauseous 15 feet away from the basket. Because maybe then that way, in crucial, series and crucial sets, we don't give teams 3, 4, and 5 opportunities on an offensive run when we should be playing defense and getting boards while our 7-foot small forward is floating around the foul line. I want to see a guy that's down in the paint getting dirty. We need, if we're gonna allow JoJo to be comfortable, as they say, the way he wants to play, then we need a power forward protector.
All right, okay. That's what we need to go get.
All
right, Matt, I had that same thought as you, and I'd still love to see that because I love that solid power forward that you got to watch in the 90s and early 2000s, all that. I love that type of player. But with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, that's a lot of room being taken up down
low. Traffic jam down there.
But not really, because if JoJo isn't down there, you know what I mean? I hear what you're saying. On paper, you think it's a lot of room. But when JoJo spins, you got to say at least 60% of the offensive sets starting off 20 feet from the basket.
But he finishes at the basket. That's the only problem, Matt, right?
He finishes at the basket, but then again, you still have the guy on the other side. And primarily, I'd say more primarily, I'm talking defensively. We need a guy that's going to protect the basket. While JoJo got second team, I think that's a bit of a joke. I mean, honestly, he should be first.
Yes, of course.
Not get some of those guys on there. But away from that, you can't have a guy like that. And how do the Raptors go down there who don't have any true, real big banging post presence? And in crucial trips in that series, they had 3, 4, and 5 chances offensively where we didn't get the board. There is a crucial miss somewhere in there. So in my mind, where I'm looking at the things that we've done throughout the season for the last 2 years at least, and especially this last year with the pieces we brought in, the thing that's missing is a guy that owns the block. A guy that just, like I said, you get him 15 feet away from the basket, he starts getting woozy. I want that type of guy defensively, and I think he can help offensively as well, because again, with Ben being 6'10 and moving like he does, and real quick, I don't want to lose last thing. I know that last guy just talked about a hook. My God, what better guy to bring in now that all that other stuff is kind of off the table than Magic Johnson? Let him put Ben under his wing.
I can't do it. Thanks for the call. We're going to put you on hold for the Men in Black tickets, but I can't do it with Magic. He's forever a Laker. He's never going to not stop working for the Lakers. I don't trust him. I still offer Trey. I still offer you as the chaperone for that meeting.
Yeah, we go in there and check it out. Make sure everything is cool.
Go in there and regulate. And I had to get away from that thought, especially with this team, because that combination, I don't think it works, Bob.
No, and I hear what Matt was saying. They did get killed on the offensive boards in that game 7, but all in all, they own the boards all playoff long. They're a good rebounding team, one of the better in the league. I don't think a true power forward really fits with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons' game.
But they do need a rim protector.
But I'm not... passing on Tobias Harris for that.
No. Joel Embiid, you need a rim protector, you think? More for the second unit, but you need a guy that can also maybe compliment him at times in the starting five, quote unquote, however you want to deem that, but definitely for the second unit.
All right, well, I tell you, the 7 o'clock hour was brought to you by Univest Bank. Handle all your banking remotely with Univest mobile platform. Easy, convenient, and secure. Live life, stay connected with Univest Bank. And you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 8 o'clock hour now brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. I'm going to continue this conversation about the Sixers, but I got to get back to the Phillies here, because they didn't have that nice win. We mentioned it earlier. The bookend victories for the Phillies in the this four-game series, opening and closing with a win, with some shaky gamage in the middle two games of this series.
Gamish. No, gamish, you said?
I said, I don't even know why. Gamage.
Yeah. Gamage. Gamage.
Human being. No.
And yesterday, they got out to that 2-0 lead. Should have been, maybe could have been a couple of more, but you get a nice defensive stop in there, by the way, in the second inning with Gene Segura. You had a nice pickoff play by Aaron Nola to first base to get Jason Hayward picked off. Reese Hoskins gave you a 3-0 lead with a sac fly RBI. JT Realmuto with a little home run action for you. That went on the Waveland Avenue, maybe over Waveland. Gene Segura stepped up with another home run, gave you a 7-0 lead with a 2-run homer. The Cubs fight back a little bit. Anthony Rizzo with a two-run single. Aaron Nola was able to work out of a jam later in that fourth inning with a double play. Odubel Herrera got you an RBI in the fifth. He had a weird play with Sean Rodriguez, who's not doing himself any favors with this fan base or his playing time. And for the life of me, I don't understand why he's even in games anymore. Can anyone explain that to me at this point? Why am I seeing Sean Rodriguez play baseball? Why is that happening?
Yeah, yesterday's a game where you do throw some subs in there because it's a, you know, getaway day. You're playing early after playing late the night before, but I agree with you.
Yeah. So
put some subs in, but not him.
Exactly. So they close the gap a little bit. Pat Neshek comes in the seventh inning and gives up a two-run home run to Schwarber. That makes it, I think, 8-5. Then Anthony Rizzo comes in. He goes yard again. Makes it 8-6 on a solo home run. McCutchen gave you some space. Gave you an RBI double, I believe it was. Gave it a 9-6 lead. Hector Neris gave up a run. Phillies are able to close it out. Neris gets the save. 9-7 victory. Now they got the three-game set, I believe it is, in Milwaukee after this four-game series before coming back to host the Cardinals for three and then going out to Los Angeles. Best team, one of the best teams in baseball. Cody Bellinger is just hitting the cover off the ball right now out there in L.A. Tough stretch here. It was good to see him split. I said yesterday, for me personally, my own well-being, it was a must-win situation for the Phils. So they got the win. I feel good. I feel better after hearing Gabe Kapler, though, talk about Hector Neris. Did you hear this?
Did I hear
we played this earlier, and Bob loved it, Trey.
Rock-solid human being.
I mean, come on, man.
Bob just sat there and dry-heaved his microphone because he loved it so much. In case you missed it, Gabe Kapler on a guy that was his closer for at least yesterday afternoon, Hector Neris.
What is that?
Certainly, like, happy for
Stop
for
the
Hector.
Tape. Stop the tape. Bob, did he? All he did was exhale.
He was
he
asked
didn't.
The question.
He inhaled. He goes,
he was
I
asked
can't
the
wait
question.
To talk about him.
I cut the question out, and that was his response.
All right, let me give complete silence here. Inhale or exhale, Jamie? Go ahead. That's an inhale.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
Definitely an inhale.
Can't wait to talk about him.
That's
what he said.
My crush is coming.
That is Rapunzel looking down, seeing the guy climb up the tower to save her. That's what that is. All right.
Oh, wow.
All right. Here is.
Yeah. Hold on. Where's my bag?
All right. Hold on.
All right, I'm done.
All right, here we go. Here is Gabe Kapler when asked about Hector Neris coming in to get the four-out save yesterday afternoon.
I certainly, like, happy for Hector. You know, he had the guts performance possible out there. That lineup is never-ending. And it's every guy can hit the ball out of the ballpark. And this, the way it went today, kind of felt like at any point could be more home runs. And so I think my initial thought when that ball landed in McCutchen's glove was good for Hector. Like, good for such a dependable, rock-solid human being and stud. And so awesome to see that happen for him.
God. It was a big day, Bob.
It was a big day, man.
Yeah.
Gabe was there
for him. Happy for him. He's a stud.
Rock-solid human being.
He's Jamie, so weird.
Jamie, what was the line you used in the 5 o'clock hour?
I don't remember.
Trey and I were laughing. You play the cut, and Jamie, so it's just like rock solid human being, and Jamie's like, have you ever seen him in the shower? You are on fire today at the 5 o'clock hour, my friend.
Gabe's weirdness I fully embrace, where Bob is like, repellent.
Bob's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I don't.
He's genuine. He learned it from his grandmother, Bob.
I wish I could curse at you right now.
He loves his players, man.
Fool.
He loves his players. I mean, he loves them.
No.
Yes, he does.
You can't tell me this is naturally coming out of his mouth.
It is.
He's not naturally spewing this nonsense.
It is.
Yeah, man.
I don't think he's back there writing it up like, okay, they're going to ask me about him. This is what I'm going to say. I think he really loves his players.
Love.
Rock solid. He loves his players.
Bob, it's love.
It's love.
It's love, Bob.
It's real.
Why are you preventing love, Bob? Why are you standing in the way of love and passion?
It was game 50 of 162, and he is getting, there's so many things I want to say.
Clemmed? Yeah, Bob, you know what? When it's love?
There's no time.
Who hurt you, Bob? I'm taking names.
Who hurt you?
Is that Egan?
Apparently Gabe's grandmother.
Who told you to talk?
I just want to get to the bottom of it. Who hurt you?
Don't worry about it. Many people have hurt
me. Real quick, hold on, but Jamie, in all seriousness, that's a true story that Gabe learned the love from his grandma.
Yeah, I heard him in an interview once, and he said he had like a defining moment in life when he was laying in the bed once, I think after a bad game or a bad day at school, something like that.
Uh-huh.
And his grandmom, who I think was close to him like a mother, more or less came to him and was like, why are you letting that affect your day? Like, you have to be positive in life. You can't let the negative stuff get you down. And he said he had, like, a moment where he realized that he could control his own happiness.
See that, Bob? Is that not beautiful?
I adhere to that belief.
Isn't that lovely?
The glass is always half full.
Why you gotta make fun of G-Mom?
I love G-Mom. Gammy hit it right on the head. But Gabe's carrying it a bit too far.
You hate Gammy!
Why do you hate Gam?
Yeah, I love Gammy.
That is messed up.
You know,
man.
If Mama was here right now, she'd whoop your ass.
And rightfully so. Probably with a wooden spoon.
Probably.
No.
You're saying you can take Gammy?
I think she'd be disappointed in
you. You're not too big for her to put you over her knee.
Yeah, could you imagine Gabe Kapler's grandmother, how jacked she must be?
Yeah, she's presenting beautifully.
The shoulders on that woman? Who do you think? First, you're presenting beautifully. Gabe got home from school, and Gam was like, you're presenting beautifully.
No.
And he's like, thanks, Grandma. You sound great.
You should get somebody, I'll slap on the butt.
Where's the coconut oil?
She definitely gave him his first bottle of coconut oil.
That's probably
absolutely. My grandma
has her face in her hands going, oh my God, what did I create here?
No, not at all.
Yes,
but
she is.
You know your
grandma
wants
you to be. That's not what I meant.
A loving human being.
She's up in heaven saying, no, that's not what I meant.
Are you already putting her in the grave? Is she dead?
That's what I heard.
You know the dad from My Big Fat Greek Wedding with the Windex?
Yeah.
My grandmother was always Witch Hazel. Witch Hazel will cure everything. Gam Kapler. Was probably the coconut oil.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Put some coconut oil on it.
I can cook with it. I can go to the weight room with it.
You guys make fun of it, but on the other hand, you're saying he's genuine.
He's genuine.
I really
think coconut oil runs in their family bloodline. How dare you talk about Gammy that way?
G-Mom.
Gammy's a fraud.
You know he's got some.
Wow,
Bob.
Come on, Bobby.
Jeez, Bob.
It's a holiday weekend.
Bobby. Oh, that's what we had to get into. I'm sorry, everyone. I teased that we'd get more into the pet peeves of going down the shore and whatnot.
Gammy's my pet peeve today.
If your grandmom's on the beach anywhere near Bob Cooney, you protect that
woman. We just got a tweet from Alexander out there. He said, my 7-year-old daughter just told me that hearing Gabe talk was creeping her out. That's awesome.
Phenomenal. All right. I promise you, we got to get into these pet peeves because it's a big shore weekend, and we want to make sure we're doing everyone a service that's down the shore and not performing any of these things that might piss off Bob Cooney.
Now you're putting it all on me.
Well, Bob, you're the most veteran shore person of all of us here.
I don't know. Jamie goes to the Hamptons every other weekend?
Well, the Hamptons is not
the shore.
Well,
I take the helicopter over to the yacht.
Oh, you said it right that time.
And then we go up to the Long Island Sound. We hit a little East Hampton and down with the stars. That's what we do, Bob.
I did hear you say the helicopter, and that kind of freaked me out.
Yeah, I say whatever. Yeah. Sometimes I say helicopter.
All right, whatever.
I thought the Academy, they taught you how to pronunciate better.
Oh, wow.
Don't bring Grey Knot Academy into this.
Don't Academy Eden. Shame. Academy shame, Bob. Academy shame.
I'm coming out as a bad guy today. I'm not that.
Bob's going heel.
Well, when you start hating grandmothers, man, it kind of...
Yeah, really. Savage.
Academy's a fraud.
Savage. 610-632. Can we get Bob Cooney saying Grammy's a fraud? 610-632-0975. You know what's not a fraud? Holland's True Value. I love this place. Holland's True Value and Gardens.
That's cold-blooded, Bobby.
You keep your grandma shaming out of the live reads, Bob. All right, Bobby. But I'll tell you right now, Holland's True Value and Garden Center, they took care of me. Guess what they're going to do? They're going to take care of you. Holland's True Value and Garden Center, 700 Ridge Pike in Lafayette Hill. I've already started working on my house. You've heard me taking care of that lawn. Well, how about this? For everything else, I go to Holland's True Value to take care of my place. When it comes to big plants, small plants outside, perennials, annuals, Holland's has it. Planters, topsoil, Holland's has it. Pavers, pottery, Holland's has it. Gas grills, charcoal grills, smokers, yard games, fire pits. All that equipment, all equipment rentals, Holland's has it. If I want to buy hand tools, if I want to buy power tools, garden tools, Holland's has it. They got everything you could possibly need to take care of your house. If you're helping somebody out with their house, you go to Holland's True Value and Garden Center, 700 Ridge Pike in Lafayette Hill. One-stop shopping. Talk to the experts. Like they did for me, they'll walk you through everything to make sure you're taking care of your house the best possible way, or building whatever you need to build in the best possible way. They got lumber down there as well. They're a lumber yard. One-stop shopping, and you're talking to experts that have been in the business as family generations. That's how great this place is. If you need it, Holland's has it. Visit Holland's True Value and Garden Center, located at 700 Ridge Pike in Lafayette Hill. And you tell them Farzetta sent you.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning, 610-632-0975. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan on the updates for us today. Molly Dalton, we've mentioned her tweet actually yesterday, as a matter of fact. Our friend Molly, a loyal tweeter and listener of the program. She says Gabe probably calls his gam G3 or G3 as Gabe's gam. I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah.
That almost seems a little too complicated, though, for Gabe nicknames. Like, Zach Eflin is F. Okay. He keeps it pretty simple.
Yeah.
He keeps it pretty simple. Coming up in a minute, we're going to get into a couple of pet peeves Bob might have about the shore. Things you shouldn't do at the shore. I think we all have. There's one that I think is pretty universal, that when it happens, it's just like, oh, first time at the beach. Oh, you're racking your brain right now, Trey.
Yeah, I am. Okay.
I think it's pretty universal. We'll get to it in a second. Warren's been holding. Warren at Cherry Hill, what's up, buddy?
Morning, boys.
Hey.
Good morning.
I think this will be my, you know, goodbye for the Sixers for the season. No more Brett Brown venom on the Phillies. But before I go with this, I got to ask you, as we've spoke during the year, we said the same things the year before. I believe in Embiid when he says he wants to get better, and because he's never said this. But he's a guy who owns up to what he did. But 2 years ago, if you remember, when they took pictures of, you know, oh, look, he's in a pickup game playing basketball, or he's doing this, we thought it was funny and it was great. But he's got to concentrate on basketball. And if he can, he's going to be the best player in the NBA. It doesn't matter about Butler or Harris, and I don't mean to blow them off. Of course, you need more than two. The two biggest problems or the two biggest questions, it's you can't simplify if Simmons doesn't have a foul line or anywhere like that in jumper. It's you can't win. You can say it. Why do they call it a guards league?
Because it is, obviously. I mean, you're not wrong there. I get what you're saying, yeah.
But he's not. When they say he's an all-star, this is not venom. This is me saying, if this was LeBron James, I believe he'd strive. Ben Simmons is a kid who grew up bigger and faster than all his friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's a skill, and I'm not telling you, never hear me say lazy, but he's never had to, he never did the Kobe or LeBron thing. Those guys, you knew they wanted to get better.
Oh, of course.
I'm watching this guy, and
but Warren, if they say it's, here's what's confusing about Ben Simmons. Anybody that's ever played basketball and been at all good, You have stepped on a court by yourself, and you mean to tell me you didn't just shoot around and practice shooting?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
But we're glossing over the fact this isn't that he can't. It's in his head. You guys right. have seen him more than I do, and I've said it to you. He does it in pre-warm-ups. He shoots the three.
Yeah.
And if he's not a 10, he can make 5, 6 out of 10. I know that's when you're open, but if it's in your head, certain things you don't get over. And I need him to, because otherwise it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. And Brett Brown's got to understand the players he has. As far as I'm concerned, I've done this to you all year. I'm just asking him to adapt to what he's got.
Mm.
Charlie Manuel ate up Joe Maddon in that World Series. Joe Maddon's supposed to be this Renaissance genius. I don't want the smartest man in the room. You
want the right man for the job. You want the right man for the job. I understand what you're saying. Joe Maddon's still a great manager. Now, I will ask this, because but I'll say this, Warren, real quick. Were you at all impressed with how Brett Brown handed this team in the playoffs?
At points I was, and I got over. But then there was that Jersey game where he let them come back. How can I say it? Weathermen, you, me, we can be wrong once in a while. You're making millions of dollars. You can't just give me what he did right. The way he managed that roster, it's just the way he's done it.
And Warren, thanks for the call.
I've talked about every point.
Right.
I'm not telling you it's not stable.
Right.
But
understood. Warren,
I got you. The best center in the world.
Right. But he didn't have the best center. But Warren.
You've heard what I said.
No, I understand that. But he also didn't have the best center in the world playing in that series against the Raptors, and they still went to 7 games. Because he was far from the best center in the world when he was playing a war. I'm going to put you on hold, and you're going to be in the running for Men in Black tickets. Which, by the way, I've been told it's the 4th Men in Black movie.
Yes.
I did not know that, and I apologize. But thanks for the call, Warren.
Not toi.
It's not toi.
No, it's definitely not toi.
Yeah.
Toi is one.
I only knew
three.
Toi.
But you know, my son's name is Ace because he's the 4th. My oldest.
His son's name is Ace because he's the 4th.
4 aces and a deck.
I see what you're saying.
I play a lot of spades.
That a fella. All right, now, in Florida, Trey, you go to the beach. You're going to the beach? Beach?
Yeah,
right? You go
right
to the beach.
Near the beach.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Here, in these parts, well, in Baltimore, we said, Maryland, we said you go to the ocean. You go to the ocean. You call your friends on the family, you go down the ocean.
Yeah.
And you root on Joe Flacco. Anyway, so we go down the shore. Bob, Jamie, you are our shore aficionados. The pet peeves that you have for the shore and a big shore weekend right now are what?
Well, here's one of my biggest.
Okay.
All right, you go down the shore for sand in the ocean, right?
Yes.
So you always see somebody standing, and I do this a lot of my kids are older now, but you stand in the water, you know, up to your ankles, you keep an eye on things or just looking.
Right.
I can't stand the people that are standing there just whatever, and kids are running around, and they get annoyed when they get splashed. You're down the shore. You're going to get wet. There's water.
There's the
ocean. It's the biggest body of water anywhere. You're going to get wet. Don't get annoyed when a kid comes running by and splashes
it's
you.
It's the passive-aggressive, oh, come on.
Yeah.
It's like,
what,
you didn't expect?
Come on. You're standing in an ocean, for crying out loud.
On you. At the ocean!
Yeah, that's one of my pet peeves.
Those people are annoying.
Yeah, that gets on my nerves.
Yeah, what about in Florida, Trey? What do you got? What do people do? I think the universal one is anyone that openly shakes their towel.
There it was. That was on my list.
What kind of sick maniac are you?
You have to go all the way to the back where there is nobody, and then you can do all the shaking you want.
Exactly.
Yes.
Or a little low to the ground if the spacing prohibits.
Little one of those, yeah. But if it's real, especially if it's real.
Thank you.
If it's real windy, you have to go to the back.
All right.
Yeah.
I really didn't have one coming up. You know,
well, you had to worry about alligators in freshwater.
We had to worry about sharks, too. You know, like... coming up down there, we go to Daytona, and my parents, every now and then, they'd take us to the beach, and, you know, and my parents were really like, hey, only go ankle deep.
I'll lead
you all the way out there, you know.
Because, where's the fun in that?
Oh, well, I mean, where's the fun in being bitten by a shark? You
know,
fair point.
Great story for the rest of your life if you survive.
Yeah,
one for the team, Trey.
Yeah,
come on.
You know, I guess so. But my parents were really big on, hey, whoa, don't go out there too far. because you would always go and watch on the news, and like they were like, hey, man, the sharks are migrating up the coast. So that was always a big thing. So my parents always, we'll go to the pool, but not to the beach. And I don't like when anything touches me when I'm in the beach. And like,
that still freaks me out.
Like, whoa, what was that? What was that? You know? Yeah, so that always does. Yeah.
I act like it's a landmine. I freak out. I don't know what that is. Whatever my foot hits, probably just a little innocent seashell. Yeah. I'm like, oh, it's a man-eating crab. I'm going to die. Like, get me out of here. Like, I don't even like going lakes for that reason. But it's funny because we think of it as just going in the water and splashing around. Yeah, it's fun. Boogie boarding, right?
Yeah.
Body surfing, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. But if you go into the water, if it was fresh water, it was the beach, you got alligators and you got sharks. So is the thing they say about alligators true where you like got to stick your fingers in their nostrils? Have you heard that?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I never even want to be that close to even have that opportunity for that to happen.
Oh, neither do I.
But we were always told, like, hey, if you ever get chased by an alligator, make sure you zigzag. But there was this one time I played for a team that went to Russia when I was in high school. Played basketball. So we lived at this place in Tampa, and the people, they were like, hey, man, we out there swimming in the lakes and everything, just hanging out. And one night, man, they took me out on the lake on the boat. And we had a flashlight, and we were flashing the lights out there in the water, and all you saw were those eyes popping up. So that was it for me. I stopped swimming in lakes.
Worth it. Not worth it.
You know, I would pee my pants.
And like, these dudes would go and catch little baby alligators and put them in the fish tank to make the mom come up on the shore. Man, they were just. I'm like, look, man, this. So that was it for me. These dudes had a rattlesnake that they ended up shooting it. The guy had a rattlesnake where he pulled it out of the cooler, and the rattlesnake just rolled out. It had like 14 rattles in his tail. Like, so
oh, my God. Know, was I, it I, alive? Or
No. That was dead. Yeah. But, I mean, these cats, that's what they were dealing with all
you
the time.
You needed new friends.
Yeah, well, they
I'm glad you came
team.
North,
yeah.
my friend.
Yeah. We don't have gators up here.
Yeah.
How do you... I don't know.
So that's how we came up, you know. Right. So I didn't really deal with the ocean. It was almost, hey, let's go to the pool.
Right. Okay. So the reason I say this is because there was that little girl like 2 years ago, I think it was, mm-hmm. who got bitten by an alligator. Yeah. But she remembered. This girl was like 7 years old, yeah. and in your kindergarten class, they say if you ever get bitten by an alligator, step one, try to survive. Yeah. Right. If you're not dead. So she remembered her alligator training, mm-hmm. and she stuck her fingers in the alligator's nose because they can't breathe, and they open their mouth, and that's how she got away.
Good.
All right?
It's good knowledge.
That's great knowledge by that girl.
And I think of the shark as you go for their eyes.
I thought you punched it in the
nose. I heard.
And the eyes as well, I've heard.
No, what's it called? It's not a nose, is it?
Snout?
I guess it is. Not a snout.
I know it's not.
I don't know. I was going to say snout.
I know
too,
it's not a beak.
Bob, I wouldn't call it a nose because they don't exactly breathe oxygen like we do.
Is that what those gills things are for?
Yeah.
Okay, I gotcha.
Are the gills
but
the
what's
nose?
What's it called?
Yeah. What?
Yeah, but you and I are on the same page. You're supposed to punch it in the nose. The point of its face.
Yeah, you're supposed to the point of its face. Yeah. You can go after the eyes, too. But Trey, have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
You punch the shark in the face?
Oh, just don't go that deep.
The nose has, the quote-unquote nose has all the sensories for the shark.
Okay.
That's where all the nerves, everything is.
Okay.
Yeah, the ankle deep water, you don't even have to worry about that.
See that?
Yeah.
You ain't got to worry about all that. And then you had the riptides and all that. Parents were like, oh, yeah, no. And I can swim. I took swimming lessons all the way up to through lifeguard. I've even saved life. But,
that a fella.
Yeah, man. No, I don't mess around in the ocean like that.
Jamie, what's your pet peeve, ocean pet peeve?
My ocean pet peeve, well, it comes down to the beach, actually. But just when you have a camp set up and it's not overly crowded yet, the family that gets way too close to your camp.
Top of my list.
Like, if you have, like, the nook kind of, like, carved out where your beachfront property, and then somebody ups you and takes in front of you. It's like, there's kind of like an unspoken line there. Yeah. Of like, hey, I'm close enough where this is beachfront. Don't go any further. Like, then you're just sitting in the water. So, like, if you get too close or you try and up my beach position, we got problems.
Now, I don't know anything about that. I can imagine that as being stupid.
When they're too close to you where you can't even walk around your own circle and it's unnecessary, my blood boils.
Mm-hmm.
There's a personal space thing on the beach that should be noted.
And I understand a crowded holiday weekend, it gets a little nuts, but when it's early and you have room and you still do it, that's the worst.
Is it a faux pas to put up a little fencing? Like a little velvet rope around your area?
That would be nice.
Hold on. Did I just come up with this? Is am I a brilliant beach goer?
I think you just had a million-dollar idea.
I think I did. Velvet ropes for the beach.
In the Hamptons, don't you guys have, like, territory on the beach?
Well, we have private beaches on our mansions, Bob.
Yeah, you own your beach,
We don't do this poor people stuff.
When you got Jamie money, let me tell you. Yeah. Actually, what you do is you land the helicopter on the beach. Everybody scatters from the sand.
Helicopter? The helicopter?
And then you just own that territory.
Now, in Florida, you know, you can drive on the beaches down there.
Yeah, they've just opened that up in certain spots of even the South Jersey Shore,
mm-hmm.
where you can you can drive your stuff down onto the beach.
Oh no, you ride up and down the coast there.
Oh really?
Oh yeah,
uh-huh,
you drive
nice.
On the beaches, especially
Mark,
in Daytona.
You disagree with that?
Yeah, for
no,
a while.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I thought you threw your pen up in the air.
Yeah, you drive up and down the beach. It's pretty cool.
I was like, no, what fascist regime are we living in up here where we can't do that? That's my thing.
Well, you hit a couple people, then it kind of changes things. But, I mean, you know.
Do they do beach tags in Florida? Because I'm just going to ask. If we're talking pet peeves, there's no bigger pet peeve than the beach tag.
Mm, what's a beach tag?
You have to.
I've been all over the world, Australia, Italy, Europe, you know, beaches in California, the island. Never once have I come across another place that does beach tags. But New Jersey will hit you right in the pockets just to step on the beach.
Hmm.
It's outrageous. And then they get these little college kids and high school kids coming around like, "Could I see your beach tag, sir?" And I'm like, "No, it's up at the house. Like, deal with it." "Well, I'm going to have to call my boss." Well, okay, great.
All right, I'll be gone. That's just a job.
I know it's just a job.
It's the state's problem. It's not the kids.
Well, you know Jamie hates kids anyway.
So, you know. But it sucks.
Jenna's a beach tag. You know, so Jenny's going to hit. So I'm going to send her right to Jamie.
What's her section? Jamie's there.
New Jersey needs to be better. Stop it.
Well, did we just stumble across something here? You asked the question, Trey, what's a beach tag?
Yeah.
So you got to pay to be on the beach, essentially. You got to pay for these tags, and you keep it on your bathing suit or whatever. And
it's just a pain in the ass.
Yeah, people come around. Like, how much is a beach tag? I don't even know. I've never bought one.
I think a daily.
Like 25 a week?
Maybe? Yeah, I think it's 25
for the 25
for the
season.
$25?
No, I think it's more like 60 or 70 for the season.
I don't think...
Okay. I mean, it's somewhere in the 10 to 20 range for the week, and then it's like, I want to say $3 to $5 a day, something like
that. Except Wildwood, right? Wildwood's like beach tag free.
Yeah,
you know why? Because Wildwood's America.
Because they stand for something.
You're damn right. So you got to have the beach tag to go onto the beach. Okay. Otherwise, you get like a $1,000 fine and they steal your car or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Somebody was telling me, I'm trying to remember, we were down the shore last year for the week, and somebody told me that a friend of theirs or somebody, but their father, an older guy, was walking the beach getting his exercise, and somebody came up and said, "Do you have a beach tag?" He's like, "No, I don't have one." And they're like, "Well, you need one." He goes, "What are you going to do? I don't have one." And he wasn't being a jerk, but he just wanted to see how the law would play
right.
out.
What's the next? Your move.
And it was kind of like, yeah, well, they wait here, hold on. And they literally like went through the whole thing, and he goes, "No, I'm not buying one. Like, this is a beach. I'm not buying." And they couldn't, like, pick them up and remove them. They didn't arrest them.
I was kind of like, "All right, never mind," and they just left them. I've gotten threatened to have the life, like the head honcho come.
Uh-oh.
They're like, "Well, I'll have to call in the boss if you're like refusing."
So what is that? A college kid? The high school kid calls the college kid.
They come running with lifeguard equipment.
Oh,
and so
Hasselhoff busts out of the dunes.
Yeah, you have the halls.
I just look at him like a four-wheeler. Hey, don't hassle the Hoff, bro.
Yeah, that's right.
Nick from Doylestown he just tweeted in one that probably wins everybody's.
What's that?
Feeding the seagulls.
Oh, God, yeah. That's horrible.
Yeah.
Like, children, don't do that.
That's
you're going to get an angry Jamie.
That's, yeah.
That's
that,
bad.
Feed them, don't you?
I don't have a problem. Like, I don't advocate violence, but there needs to be like a Gangs of New York style brawl in that instance right there. If somebody is feeding the seagulls like an idiot, that needs to stop immediately. I'm like literally thinking about it. I'm pissed off now.
Kelsey's got a good one.
What's that?
People who spray sunscreen downwind.
Oh, that is good.
Ooh. Boy. Okay, now I'm getting pissed off.
Yeah. now you're ruining my good time.
Yeah, now I'm like, oh, yeah, we'll help people with, like, pet peeves. And now I'm thinking about it, and I put myself in the moment, and I'm like, I want to punch somebody in the face. 610-632-0975. Coming up, top of the hour, we're going to talk to Jimmy Kemsky. Here's the thing. We're also going to let you hear from Adam Schefter. Because Adam, as usual, called us on Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
and he reiterated that he feels Carson Wentz will sign a long-term deal before the season starts. He's like, not maybe before, he goes, maybe before training camp, maybe just after training camp, maybe during training camp. But he feels like something's going to get done before the season starts. I'll let you hear Adam Schefter's take on it again. We'll talk to Jimmy Kemsky about it at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. We'll jump back into some Phillies and some 76ers talk as LeBron James is now trying to court Jimmy Butler to Los Angeles, our next biggest worry. Time to the Fanatic, 8:41.
Here's why you need a little Delilah's in your life. Why not watch the games with a little more entertainment? I'm not talking looking at your phone in between plays type of entertainment. I'm talking real entertainment. Delilah's kind of entertainment. When we go to the games, we don't want the entertainment to end when the buzzer sounds. That's why I head to Delilah's. It's been voted America's number one gentleman's club. Delilah's is the after party for every win or loss. Just bring your ticket after every home baseball game and you'll get free entry into the best after party in town. You don't even need to wait until after the game. For every home game, there's Coors Light specials during every baseball game. So grab the crew and come down to be surrounded by food, drinks, and the most beautiful showgirls. Just off Delaware Ave on Spring Garden, Delilah's is the perfect place to keep your heart racing before, during, or after the game. Get all the details at Delilah's.com. Delilah's, always on top.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan on the updates today. 610-632-0975. I want to get you an update on our Twitter poll question brought to you by Window Nation. Whether or not you feel LeBron can lure Jimmy Butler to Los Angeles. All of us are pretty confident that Jimmy wants to stay in Philly because of the money and because it's a pretty nice setup for himself.
Mm-hmm.
He gets to be the man, right? Yeah, you got obviously you got JoJo, but you love JoJo if you're Jimmy Butler. You already got in a fight for JoJo if you're Jimmy Butler. Ben Simmons, your boy.
Says right? He loves his coach, right?
Can we ask
thinks
for more?
He's a great coach.
Can we ask for more harmony in Philadelphia?
No, it's Jimmy Butler's six. So.
No, we can't.
I love you.
We can't ask for more harmony, I'm telling you that much. But here's something interesting. We got Jimmy Kemsky coming up in a minute. I want to get back to this cut from Adam Schefter when he was on with us the other day, when he was talking about the possibility of bringing Carson Wentz back on an extension following the season, giving him more of a long-term deal. Here's Adam Schefter on when he thinks that could happen for Carson Wentz.
I still think that'll be done before the season at some point. I don't know whether that's in training camp or right after training camp. I don't know that they know. I just think that they have begun talking. Both sides will want to get this done.
Now, I think that the conversation has started, like he said just then, and I think this is something that actually will get done. But I don't know if I'm Carson Wentz, if I would sign the deal now, or I'd wait to cash in after the season.
Hell no, I'm betting on myself.
Yeah, that's the option.
Well, yeah, it's easy to say, but like the person you're betting on has been hurt the last three years.
Mm-hmm.
So but he would live in denial of that, right? He could, but, you know, you can't deny money.
Because he keeps saying it's a freak injury. It's a freak injury. It's not like a recurring thing.
Right,
so
he doesn't have a degenerative problem.
Yes. Right. But do you want to freak yourself out on millions and millions of guaranteed money? Like, Trey, what would you do if you were him?
Well, I signed a deal early myself. So, you know, it depends on the offer. If it's right up there with everyone else that's at that top tier of the position, then I'm going ahead and signing it. If it's worth it. You know, I'm not going to go in and give you that heavy of a discount just because I'm signing earlier.
Yeah. So if he waits and bets on himself and all, it's going to be what? Say 28, 30 million a year?
Yeah.
If he signs this year, what do you think it would be? Somewhere in the 22 to 25?
Yeah, I was going
to
say 23. Yeah, exactly.
I think it'll be higher.
Like Alex Smith is, you know, veteran, whatever, he's been injured. I think going into this year, he's going to make about 24 million.
Okay.
All right. Now, obviously, he is not Alex Smith. He's not the veteran. Andrew Luck is making around 24 million right now. Is Carson Wentz going to sign for more than that? I think on the long-term deal, the second deal that he'll sign, like the Matt Ryan deal that he just signed, that I think will come later. I don't think it'll come right away.
Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't surprise me if he ends up getting that $28 million deal.
So you're looking at probably about a 4 or 5 year deal that's going to be right around that 100.
Yeah.
Good with that. four-year deal, 100 something?
Because Russell Wilson just signed a deal that pays him on average $35 million a year.
Right.
All right? We're all agreeing Carson Wentz not getting $35
million? No.
All right.
I think he can get over 30.
You think he can get like 31, 32 what, mil?
Yeah,
right
after
now?
This year.
Or after this year, after he has a proven year?
Both.
Really?
I do.
So you think it has no bearing on whether or not he plays?
Not really.
Wow.
I think they view him as, like, as they go. They wouldn't have let Nick Foles walk otherwise.
Okay. Now, don't get me wrong.
I think they knew they were locking him up 2 years ago.
If Carson goes out and gets hurt again, then, like, look.
Then you're screwed.
Look, I don't think the people that are saying, oh, lock him up now. Those people that say, those people that are against the lock him up now movement, I can't say they're crazy. If you have reservations about signing Carson Wentz to a long-term deal right now, I understand. I don't agree with you, but I don't think you're ridiculous. Because other than his rookie season, and yeah, he was hurt before the year. Did he miss any games? No. The guy's been hurt. I mean, injury prone. I don't know if I necessarily go there, but he's got to find a way to protect himself better on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam Schefter saying this could happen before training camp, around training camp, shortly thereafter. And I think the Eagles, it behooves them. If I'm the Eagles, I want to sign him right now because he's, I think, at the cheapest. Because I think he'll be a good quarterback. He could be a great quarterback. Because I think he could be that MVP, perennial MVP candidate. I want to sign him now.
On the cheap.
On the quote-unquote cheap, where I think I could get him for under $30
million. Yeah, I don't think it's going to save you that much money.
I mean, $5 million a year, maybe? You're talking about,
I could be wrong.
Do you want his mind read?
He knows it.
His
agent certainly knows it.
Yeah. How many years does he have left on this contract? This is his fourth year?
And then he can sign the option. And,
you can push it one more year.
So you don't have to sign him right now. You would wait to this year. So that's what Joe Flacco did. He waited an extra year, bet on himself, won the Super Bowl, and the best possible scenario worked out for him financially. Mm-hmm. But now he's in Denver.
Yeah, and he's not going to be a mentor.
Would you sign Carson Wentz right now to a long-term deal that would pay him, on average, $28 million a year?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
That's the deal I think that's the deal that the Eagles, I think, are going to have to go with.
Uh-huh.
I think that's what's going to be around. But in terms of that $35 million a year type deal that Russell Wilson got, who's already won a Super Bowl, yeah, we're not going near there. But right now, I think the Eagles go $28 million. We'll get Jimmy Kepchy's thought on it coming up in a minute. Let's talk to B-Hawk in Philly, of course. What's up, B-Hawk?
Yo, brother, what's going on?
Yo.
How you doing?
We're just hanging out, brother. What's going on?
Man, you look, that news from LeBron, y'all know it was a matter of time. He going to try to sell the players that he's going to get, take Jimmy on a banana boat. Don't go on the banana boat trip. We knew this was coming from a mile away. Now, what can we sell? Can we sell up-and-coming championships? Because you know LeBron's going to sell a championship next year. You know what he's going to sell to him. So this is going to test where Jimmy Hart at. Do you want to be the man, or you want to be secondary and chase the chip? And we're going to see what it is, because you know what LeBron's going to sell. You know where L.A. is targeting. It's all is clear as day. We're going to see where Jimmy's heart is at. We're going to see where his heart is.
Yeah, it's a lot of money, though, if he passes up.
Yeah, but he's going to try to sell that championship and that feeling. But we're going to see where Jimmy is, but I wouldn't be too shocked if he bolt. But then again, how long do we wait before we try to break the Brinks truck up to someone else and try to score something? Because we do got to start. Elton got to set up a plan B, because this is pretty strong. So we're going to see where it is. But it's crazy. We got to wait. I'm going to try to catch up with you guys again. And Carson, I'm going 28, 29, 30, nothing less than that, with some insurance policy with the organization as well, just in case things go sour. But, you know, I'm going to holler at you guys on Monday. Have a blessed weekend. Happy Memorial Day.
You too, brother. Appreciate it, man. That's B-Hawk, ladies and gentlemen. 610-632-0975. Do tell you, listen to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. And don't forget, at the end of the show, we're going to name our Tool of the Week. And I think this person is going to be the two-time winner of the Hollidge True Value and Garden Center Tool of the Week. I bet you do, Bobby. Spring is here, and that means it's time to head to Hollidge True Value and Garden Center in Lafayette Hill, where you'll find everything you need to bring your yard to life if you need it. Remember, Hollidge has it, and today is a Friday. You can catch us on twitch.tv. Just simply follow 97.5 The Fanatic on twitch.tv for our post-show showcast. Also, at the end of this segment, the end of the hour, rather, we're going to get to our sexy weather reports, right? Because we always have that for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be a part of the Farzetta and Trey Morning Show, call our sexy weather line and deliver the upcoming weekend's weather. And it's a holiday weekend, folks. We need that weather in your sexiest voice, and we will we'll play the best one on Friday morning, this Friday morning, today, around 9:50 today. Call 610-771-9759.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.